There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Thursday, or little Friday, you may want to call it the day, and lots going on over the next 2 hours of live local talk, and got a guest coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, a name that went from the world of print journalism, digital journalism, into the world of elected officials in government, and now going back into the private sector. Tomorrow, the last day for the communications director for the city of Mobile, George Talbot. He joins me, and we'll talk with him coming up at 1 o'clock today. Plus, we'll look at some breaking stories here over the last day or so, or since this morning, and a $26 million cash infusion for farmers in the state of Alabama. We'll give you more on that. And also, Congressman Byrne talking about the Airbus tariffs and the holdoff being done by the Trump administration. We'll get to that in just a little bit. I do want to start off this hour and with my buddy, our staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, and font of, well, anything weather. It's Dr. Bill Williams, PhD in this stuff. And Dr. Bill, thanks for being on with us. I got questions. You know, I always got questions for you. I had a new one today.
Okay.
So I get a couple texts this morning in an email about an inland hurricane. Okay, so it asked Dr. Bill about this inland hurricane. These things have a name. What is this, derecho or derecho? Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, this is something that we see at times over the Midwest and the Great Plains. And what happens is a very large cluster of thunderstorms forms, and it has support in the upper atmosphere for those thunderstorms to develop. And the entire cluster starts moving along, most often out in the plains, and in the Midwest, it moves from west to east. And ahead of it is the outflow from all those thunderstorms, produces this enormous gust front, and it will persist if it becomes what they call a derecho, which means apparently in Spanish, straight line. It produces straight line winds, not tornadoes, but straight line winds, and for 200 miles or more. And if those winds persist at 60 miles per hour approximately or greater, then it's classified as this derecho formation. And the winds have been clocked at over 100 miles per hour in this enormous gust front that sweeps across the plains or the Midwest. And that's what happened the other day. And so they were looking at hurricane force winds, but that's the only way that it looks like a hurricane.
Okay.
That it has winds of that are powerful, at times over 100 miles per hour. We're not looking at a big rotating system, but just a big mass of thunderstorms that continue for hours, covering an enormous stretch of land, as I mentioned, 200 miles or greater.
Okay, and this is helping me understand it, too, because when I saw this and went and it said inland hurricane, I was thinking the rotation and all that, but it's actually about the winds, and I guess you said it's like it's a big version of this. So is it similar to, okay, say this afternoon we're out somewhere and there's a thunderstorm some distance away from us, and you get all of a sudden the air conditioning effect where the wind starts to blow and the air's a lot cooler? Is it like a big version of that?
It's a big version, and what we frequently see here is a single thunderstorm that takes maybe 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes to form, And then it develops what we call a downburst. The cool air comes down through the center of the storm and then pushes out away from the storm and produces a gust front. And that's that rather pleasant cool breeze, sometimes can fairly strong. And but it's a single storm, and the storm sometimes doesn't even move very much, and it goes through a life cycle and dissipates in another 30 minutes. And that's quite common in our area. But this system is much different in that it's a cluster of thunderstorms. Now, we see it occasionally in this area, but it doesn't meet the requirements that I mentioned to cover 200 miles or more. Sometimes we do see a large cluster will come into Alabama and the northern counties and then move all the way down the state. Mm-hmm. And that gets pretty close to being classified as a derecho. And it produces some strong gusty winds through the state as it heads down to the coast. But the ones that meet the classification, the requirements, are the ones on the Great Plains and the Midwest. And they tend to have much stronger winds tied to and connected really with a jet stream that is flowing over the top of the system.
And you say strong winds, and you talk about that's why they use the hurricane term. I'm looking at the wind speeds from yesterday and where they clocked it around. And like you said, 100 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, 85
right.
miles an hour. I mean, this is the stuff of, of category, two and up hurricanes.
Yes, exactly. And, there were winds over 100, 112 miles per hour.
Wow.
Recorded, but most of it was in that range of, say, 60 to 80, and which, of course, is going to produce a lot of tree damage. And that's what occurred over much of the of the Midwest, and it's a very damaging situation, but those clusters can just stay for a long time, for hours, track across an area.
Yeah, you're in the business of forecasting, Dr. Bill. Is there, you and other meteorologists out there, is there ever you're like, oh, look, it's setting up that we may have one of these break out in the next day or so? Is there any sign that way?
And we don't see that, but we will see a lot of pop-up thunderstorms over the next few days. Some areas may not get any rain. Other areas can pick up 2-3 inches of rain. But we'll see a rather frequent thunderstorm activity on into Saturday. Then it will taper off a bit on Sunday and Monday, which also will allow the temperature to climb up into the mid-90s late in the weekend.
But you're not worried about any derechos here?
No, we're not looking at that. Of course, we're continuing to watch the tropics because we're now getting into what is considered the more active period from mid-August through mid-October.
That this was developing this morning, we talked about. Is that the same one that got the name Josephine today? There's a talking about Josephine.
Yeah, Josephine was a tropical depression earlier today, and it's out in the Atlantic, headed toward the Leeward Islands, but it looks like it will turn and head north of the Leeward Islands, and then it may run into unfavorable conditions for the tropical system, and that means wind shear in the upper atmosphere, and it will lose strength north of Puerto Rico late in the weekend or early next week, and it should most likely miss the East Coast and stay out in the open waters of the Atlantic, so it doesn't appear to be any threat to the Gulf of Mexico.
Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update and the education for derechos on Midday Mobile. Thank you.
Okay, Sean.
All right, there he is, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, tropical weather expert, PhD in weather. Taught a lot of y'all at the University of South Alabama over the years. I always hear about that, too. So there you go. So the folks that were emailing and texting this morning, there is derecho. That is the password. The password is derecho. You see the pictures of damage through the Midwest on this? I saw some pictures of what it did to the cornfields, too. Those poor folks losing, a year's worth of corn crop up there. All right, a lot more show on the way. We'll do this news thing, and then we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, to 1220, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Let's see. Calvin on the text line. Derecho equals, Daddy, where's my trampoline? Honey, it's in Indiana. Yes, but we live in South Dakota. Exactly, honey. The derecho the Duray Show is a new term to me, but it's interesting. I mean, it's something I can understand. Dr. Bill says, you know that effect. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't live here and not know that the thunderstorm some distance from you, and you get the, like that picture I put up on the Twitter feed the other day from, I guess it was a Tuesday, when I was out at the Spanish Fork Container Yard doing the Spanish Fork Mayoral Forum and Candidates Forum, and that line of storms came up, and you know, like 15 minutes ahead of time, it's like, the air condition turns on and the breeze picks up, but this is a giant one out there. Winds up to 100 miles an hour, says something. Randall says, is the price of deer corn going up? What are you talking about in the Midwest? Randall, I've already checked futures. They didn't move a whole bunch yesterday, so I don't know how much corn got destroyed up there. I mean, there's some significant pictures and some big fields leveled, but I don't know. You know, I don't know how wide. It didn't look like it moved commodities as much. I mean, it didn't move commodities much at all on that. So I don't know if that's been factored in. Dan, now listen, Dan. I will do anything, man, for this radio station and work hard as I can. But there are some things I cannot do. Dan is asking on the text line, can we please get Dr. Bill Williams on social media so I can talk blank to my friends in Birmingham about how much better our guy is? Now, Dalton's probably in the control room and they're laughing because, Dan, he got a smartphone, I think, 2 years ago, and I have sent him, I think, I don't know, 27 texts over that period of time. And he has never answered one. Now, he will get your text and call you on the phone, but last person to get on, you know, full effect. Now he will get on Facebook personally, but like if he's going to be updating a Twitter or an Instagram, Dan, I will do everything I can for this radio station, but I can't do that. All right? That is a hill too high. Now, if we could start some kind of, I don't think even if we start a movement out there to motivate, to cajole staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams into getting on like Twitter or Instagram, he cares not enough for our silliness, Dan. All right, he's busy teaching us about derechos. All right, we'll take some phone calls and a couple more texts in here. And then I got some things we got to do this hour. So let me go to the phones, and Matt in Mobile is first up. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Sean. How you doing, man?
I think I'm pretty good, except I can't get Dr. Bill on Instagram. It's just not happening.
Hey, Dan's got a good point. I got to give Dan props on that. But asking Dr. Bill to get on social media more is like asking President Trump to get off of it a little bit.
Well said.
I'm not saying all the way, but just some of it would, you know, it would quit giving the media such strong salvos going in this direction.
Yep.
But look, I just wanted to say two things. I may not be able to make the 1 o'clock hour, but man, wishing George Talbot farewell. Man, I've loved him being in the public arena from his press register days until now. And it's going to be our loss, but his future employer's gain. You know, George is an upstanding guy, just a good guy all the way around. And two, I love the fact that you guys added Jeff Hoare to the lineup. Man, you guys knocked it out of the park doing that. You know, I've never been a big Gallagher fan, but I know a lot of people are. But having said that, what kind of dirt do you have on Jeff that he's so worried about losing his job every day?
I tell him today could be your last day, poor. Every time I say today, you straighten up. Today might be your last day.
Does he have evidence on Hillary Clinton that we don't know about or something? Because he's always worried about losing his job.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I'll leave it at that. You may want to contact him directly. But he's made it through, you know, another Thursday here, and he'll complete another weekend. And But he just better not get used to it. Better not rest on his laurels.
Oh, man, I tried to call one time and couldn't get in. But, man, I love his lineup. I like hearing some of the flavor from the north end of the state, and especially Dale Jackson on occasion that's out on his Saturday show. You know, a half an hour doesn't do him justice at all down here in this area, the way he goes off on rant.
Yeah, you're right. He's a talent.
And anyway.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that call. That was good. And that's, you know, kind of one of the things that's, just trying to explain what's different, you know, around here is we're doing this station like we have for 11 years. I'm going, 11 years. Like I should know that. 11 years of local talk. Jeff brings in, of course, his local talk, but also state talk. You know how much attention we also pay to Montgomery. Jeff does the same. Jeff pays attention to the state. So in a time where there's a dearth of information when it comes to state news, right? You just don't, you don't have daily papers. You don't have the same kind of reporting about news that goes on the in the rest of our state. And I know there are people in the rest of the state that see us as some kind of unruly province of the state of Alabama, but this is our state. And so things that happen in Montgomery make a big difference here. Things that happen even outside the capital. Things happen in North Alabama, West Central, East Central, all are part of our story here in Alabama. That's, you know, one of our mission statements here is to cover that. So, you know, you give us time with our 8 hours in a row of live local programming every weekday. You're going to know what's happening here at home. You know what's happening in the state. You're going to know what might happen. You're going to hear from the people that made the news, the people that are the lawmakers, the people that comment on that, all that. So that's our mission. And going forward, we keep trying to get better and better at that. And by the way, I'd be remiss to tell you there's maybe not something else big coming your way very, very soon. You would think that I could, you know, hang my hat on adding the Jeff Poor Show to the mix here for 2020. But, you know, when everything else goes wrong in the year, we're trying to make it go right. So there's your tease, all right? I do want to add this, too, to the mix. Congratulations to Ashley Christopher Kaiser, the winner of this week's, so week 8, right? Week 8's FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest, brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. So this is a picture of picture of Jason and Jackson, father and son, snapper fishing. Great picture. The boys there with some snappers, some nice snapper. And they got, they got definitely got the most likes of the pictures, and they won this thing. And what they, I'll tell you what we'll do too. Ashley, if you're listening, just send me a note here to the text line so I can remember. We'll get shirts for both dad and son here. They both have won those FM Talk 106.5 fishing team dry fit shirts with our logo on the back and the red snapper and the speckled trout. So very good. Well done, father and son. I love father and son fishing pictures, father-daughter, mother-son, all that kind of stuff is good stuff. So remember, here's how you win. So we're starting a brand new week. So Ashley Christopher Kaiser has won this week for Jason Jackson's picture. Now we shake the Etch-A-Sketch and we start with a new week here. So our week runs Thursday to Thursday on this contest. So you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. When you're there, post up your fishing picture. Okay, and then make sure you let all your friends know it's there, and they'll come over and like it, right? Friends, family, get on your list and say, hey, go hit that like button there on my picture in this contest, and the picture with the most likes wins every week. Brought to you by our friends over at Sportsman's Marine. So new week, new chance to win with the fishing photo contest. So good luck, and send me a note here, Ashley, so we're going to make sure, if I'm not here, that there are two shirts here for you. All right, a couple other stories I want to get to here before the bottom of the hour news, and then we'll, and that means like just 30 minutes after the hour, we'll get into a couple other stories. Number one, I want to talk a little bit about this theater story. You heard this, of course, during the WKRG news update with Devin, that AMC Theater's talking about this theater reopening. I want to do this, too, because our online opinion poll question right now is, would you feel safe attending a college football game this fall? 76% of y'all said yes, that you would. Does that number change? And I wonder if we should put up another poll question here. Would that ratio be different when it comes to movies? Do you feel the same about attending? 76% of y'all said that you would attend a football game this fall. Do you feel different about going to a movie theater? I mean, there are some big differences, though, right? Not big difference. It's enclosed, although there are fewer people. There is the same social distancing thing they're talking about here for the movie theaters, where you wouldn't be sitting seat to seat to seat. You'd have some spacing there. But would you go right back to the movie theater and not think about it, or would that give you pause? Because AMC is opening, I think, let's see here. Theaters once again opening, announced a reopening date. At this time, company AMC is going all out for its 100th anniversary after shuttering for 5 months. According to the AMC statement, the doors to more than 100 of its U.S. theaters will reopen on August 20th, when the company, founded in 1920 in Kansas City, will celebrate an anniversary with 1920s pricing, 15 cents per movie ticket. This might be in my budget. Okay, so they said movies in 2020 at 1920 prices. Event throwback movies will be priced at $5. What happened? I thought it was 15 cents. It just went up while I was reading the story. It celebrates its anniversary with 1920s pricing, 15 cents per movie ticket. Okay, it's a one. Okay, that's the one day, and then after that, the $5, including special 10th anniversary Inception event, Black Panther, Back to the Future, Grease, Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. Theaters also offering $5 snack deals through October. They said as the pandemic continues, ticket availability will be limited to account for social distancing, the company stated. Initial reopening is part of a phased plan to open about two-thirds of their more than 600 theaters by September 3rd. Other theaters will follow when state and local officials allow it, the company stated. So would you go? I mean, even if they didn't have the 15-cent deal or the $5 snacks or whatever, would you go? Would you go to a movie theater where you had, you know, the 6 feet of separation? Does that bother you? Because it looks like the majority of y'all would go to a college football game this fall. Would you go to inside the movie theater? All right. We'll get those texts from you and maybe turn this into an online opinion poll question. Also, heads up, as you heard Matt mention, George Talbot joining us at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow is his last day with the City of Mobile. He and I are going to talk about what's next and his career so far. That happens at 1 o'clock. And a big anniversary, speaking of movies, we'll talk about that coming up right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Right, a ton of text here. Also, hop on the line, 343-0106. You want to talk movies. Although, David, on the text line, David Walter says, last time I went to a movie, there wasn't more than 10 people there anyway. Well, I'm trying to think the last movie I went to. It would be fill in the kids' movie, whatever the kids' movie was. Some kind of animated something. Although, what was my mother's whole joke? Last movie I went to was Ben-Hur. So, I did. You're misunderstanding me. Somebody says, playing football carries long-term risk. I don't go anyway. A lot of people like to tell me what they don't do here. Okay. No, I'm not talking about playing college football this fall. I'm talking about going. So, there's enough discussion going on about playing and the players. The flip side is, Dalton and I were talking about this the other day, and it's our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question right there on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. Would you feel safe attending a college football game this fall? Because even if it's just the SEC playing ball, nobody else, would you go? Would you worry about that? Would you worry about, like, for COVID issues, being at Bryant-Denny? Would you worry about, and if they have people, I guarantee you there'll be some sort of seat spacing, which I don't understand how that'll work for season ticket holders. Right now, it's a big question for season ticket holders. Anyway, or Jordan-Hare, or anywhere else, would you go to the game? Right now, 76% of y'all say you'd feel safe doing that. I'm just kind of wondering on the movie theater. For me, it just, because it's enclosed. I don't know if I'd go or not. I mean, I'm not a big, but the problem is it's not a big draw for me. I did see something, was it last week? We saw something like, they were going to move up the period of time, the gap between when movies are released and when they can be released on demand. I think some of the studios had talked about that, maybe sensing the winds of change there, saying that there's some prescribed period of time from when a movie comes out in theaters to when it can be on demand. But I think last week it was either the movie houses or somebody talked about this and said they could tighten that period of time up.
Yeah, there was some kind of deal between one of those big movie companies and a streaming service, and I think they decided on 21 days or something like that.
The movie's ended or after it opens
after
in theaters?
After the theatrical release, they're going to
put it. Pretty tight.
But, the prices are unreal. I think it's like 20,
says 25. Says the man that likes MMA.
Yes.
What is your...
Oh, my goodness. Now, if you want to buy and watch a UFC event, it's 65 pre-tax.
Okay, so keep going.
60. You're right. That is expensive. a lot like a movie, you never know how a UFC or boxing event will go. It could be like the worst night of fights or action ever,
right.
But it's kind of a gamble there. But I do know, we thought that all these production companies had completely shut down production during this pandemic, and at least they did in the beginning. But the way I understand it now, some of these major, major movie corporations are doing exactly what we're seeing with the NBA and the NHL. They're creating bubbles, and they're testing everyone on site. I think I read that the new Jurassic World, whatever, part three, part four of the new...
How many Jurassics are we going to have?
There's a lot of Jurassics. They are testing the dinosaurs, if you were wondering. But, yeah, I think they're finding a way. You know, there's so much money to be made. I think they are trying to find a way to continue to shoot at least the big blockbuster movies. Now, if you're a fan of indie movies and some... I don't know how that's going, but... I was expecting a big gap where we wouldn't have any new releases for a long time. You know, it's been 5-6 months now, but I think some of these big companies are finding a way to go ahead and shoot the movies. Now, whether people will be able to watch those in theaters by the time it's ready to come out or not, that's another gamble.
But do they care? Like, if I'm the movie company, now I'm not talking about the AMCs of the world and all the people, and I think about that business model and the people that work there, but if I'm the company making movies, as long as my bank account gets the money, if I had to sell it to a theater and the theater charged and they paid me, or just people go watch it at their homes, if I end up with the same kind of, which I don't know if they can, but if it gives me the same kind of cash flow, if I can charge whatever, $30 for a movie because there might be the full family sitting there watching it, can I move to a new model? And like the main... Down the road, will the main distribution be on demand, be in people's homes? And then if for fun, you see if there's a movie theater in your town to go watch it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, I think that's the way we're moving, right? Basically in-home streaming to watch these movies. But I still think that they get the actors, the directors, they get most of their cut from the box office. That's why box office numbers are still so important to them. You know, I'm sure that these streaming companies pay big bucks for some of these movies, and you know, Netflix and Hulu and HBO, they're all definitely getting into the game of these new releases where they have movies that have just as high production costs and just as high acting costs as the ones you see that come out in the movie theaters. But I still think that the best way to make money as an actor or as a director or producer is to make sure that movie goes into theaters and you get that box office cut before it goes to the homes. But I know there are probably a lot of people out there with kids that have, you know, Disney, they're big fans of Disney or Nickelodeon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Disney's kind of gone that way where they had all these releases that they were ready to pour into the theaters, and then with this big shutdown, they've decided to go ahead and release it on Disney Plus instead. I think this new Mulan live action Mulan movie is coming out. They ended up going with streaming for that instead. So,
but what if the whole thing changes? In other words, right now, so if you're an HBO and you got to pay the rights for the secondary market to put out a movie, I get that. But what if that didn't? I mean, there would be HBOs and stuff out there, but these big releases would not even go through. They would be marketed on demand on their own, independent of any subscription service. It would just be a thing. It'd be an open marketplace, and here this movie's available. If your kids want to watch whatever the, you know, Mulan or whatever it is, it's $35 or whatever, you know, and you know,
and you get it from like a Play Store rather than
You go on itself. Exactly. You hit it. You're selecting it individually. You're not subscribing to anything or whatever. You're just going into here's the movies available.
Yeah, you could do it from iTunes or Google.
Right.
Or Vudu is another company that puts them out.
They put them up. The movie house would make the movie and then put it up out there. It's like a thing. It's by itself.
Yeah.
And they could run ads, you know, and promote that it's out there and go check out our latest release. But you would just go kind of a la carte and grab that movie.
We're probably heading that way. I'd love to talk to a local theater owner or whoever, just to know kind of what that landscape has been like over the last, you know, even pre-COVID, it seemed that we were trending in that direction. I don't know if you remember what was probably the first big release of a movie that did not go into theaters. They ended up putting it out to where you could buy it and stream it. It wasn't because of COVID. It wasn't because they decided that would be a better route, but it was because of North Korea. Do you remember what movie that was?
Seth Rogen. The Interview.
The Interview with Seth Rogen.
Tell the story, because this was done because they were scared. The movie companies were scared.
The Sony hack. and you had a movie coming out by Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Yeah.
And I think Franco played a journal. Well, I know Franco played a journalist in that movie, really airheaded, kind of ditzy guy. And
right.
Seth Rogen was his producer. And they somehow booked a trip to North Korea where you had an actor playing Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And they hung out and they actually became friendly with Kim Jong-un, but their side mission, the CIA got involved, and their side mission was to assassinate Kim Jong-un. North Korea, of course, got upset about that, just like China. Anytime there's any media that's critical...
They have zero sense of humor.
Sense of humor. Anytime there's media that's critical of these dictators, they get upset about it. And these North Korean hackers hacked into the Sony offices put out all these emails that were being distributed, you know, within that company, and some people got in some big trouble for some of the stuff they were saying in those emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course,
I do remember, yes,
the corporation freaked out about it. There was worry that there would be terrorist attacks in theaters if this movie, The Interview, we actually let North Korea boss them around and boss us around. So going into Christmas, I think 2015 or something like that, they ended up putting that movie out to where you could buy it and stream it. That was the first time that happened. Now I think it's...
So it was driven by, you're right, state-sponsored, state-allocated terrorism.
Mm-hmm. And really, when you look at our major releases, and that's a problem that a lot of Americans have, these movies that are blockbusters make so much of their money in China that they make their movies and they'll even edit to keep China from being upset about what's in those movies. So Transformers, you know, they made a bunch of money over in China. And a movie coming up soon, Space Jam 2, starring LeBron James.
Did we need to make another Space Jam?
We did not. But LeBron James has Space Jam 2 coming out, and, you know, he's been a voice that's been very silent on the issues in China, as the NBA also tried to make headway there. So that's just a little interesting side story there, us kowtowing to these communist countries. But to answer your first question, yeah, I think that's the way we're heading, where movies will be released. Maybe regular sit-in-your-chair theaters will become like what drive-in theaters are now, where you have one maybe in every half of a state or something like that.
When we get to that point. Although I see, like, there are different local theaters, like Paul on the text line said, our buddy Paul said Nexus, he would go to. And that's a different kind of deal with the size of the seats and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, I think the last movie I saw in a normal, you know, theater, where what everyone knows is a theater, it might have been the first Jurassic World, and there were so many children coughing and yelling and making noise during that movie that I was like, I'm done with normal theaters. These, you know, Nexus, Crescent, I love those kinds of places, and they really are, you know, socialization is very important even when you're a little bit older. So I hope we're able to hold on to those, but it seems like the way this new economy, all this technology, it seems like we're heading towards in-home viewings for the most part only.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a bunch of yelling and coughing and screaming kids, it's just like being at home for me. So
sticky floors.
It's just like being at home for me, so I might as well be there. Although I want to point out, too, as we run to the news break, who did not count out to the North Koreans? What movie? Team America World Police.
That's right.
Right? So maybe Sony did, but, you know, Parker and Stone, they didn't. Not saying that's a movie for everyone, but some of us out here enjoyed that. Team America, World Police. All right, coming right back, we'll talk about a movie that debuted on this day in 1982. I do have to get that out of my system. One of my absolute favorites. Dalton will be non-surprised about the movie that I'm going to tell you about when we get back. Plus, we'll talk about sales tax revenue in the state of Alabama and what Congressman Byrne said about the Trump administration holding off tariffs on Airbus. It's all straight ahead. Stay right there.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Wait a second. We need to switch this up so I can transition into the story. All right, so okay, go the other cut. It's more like it sets the scene better. 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Hey, coming up in just about 10, 15 minutes, George Talbot, last day with the City of Mobile as Communications Director for Mayor Sandy Simpson tomorrow. But he's been a part of the show off and on for years, from his days with the Press Register on to his position with the Simpson administration, and a lot to talk about with him as he goes to the next phase in his career. So we'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour. Oh, and what other than Rico Kasich and his gigantic Adam's apple in the cars, which sounds cool coming into a segment of the show. Also, it's because we got talking about movies, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't go past this moment and not point out that it was in... Y'all are about to feel old with me. On this date in 1982, Fast Times at Ridgemont High debuted in theaters. You know, Spicoli?
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine. Thanks. Can I use your bathroom?
Yeah, there's some of the finest of Sean Penn's acting right there from 1982. And a movie that poor Dalton has heard me quote for all the years we've worked together. He's heard me point out things. I said, well, let's go back and reference what Spicoli would have said in that situation. But there you go. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, this date in 1982. Classic film. Not one that I watched with the family, no, but a classic film in the American movie lexicon out there. All right, now on to some of the harder news out there. Just want to pass this along. First of all, Alabama sales tax revenue, the numbers coming in today, up 6% in 2020 despite the coronavirus pandemic. Why is that? We've talked about it a few times here on the show. It's the sales tax you get charged when you go online, which is another reason. I mean, there's no advantage, you know, unless you find selection of something that you don't find in town. But the sales tax advantage that used to exist for buying online when people were you were supposed to at that point, of course, cut a check to the Treasury, the state Treasury, at the end of the year for the sales tax you should have been paying. But, of course, they moved with the internet companies out there, most of them, not all of them, to charge sales tax on items bought in Alabama, and that has brought in the sales tax revenue. It's why we don't have proration going on right now in the budget. So there's one thing. And then I saw, this is a story that I think last time this happened, it's happened a couple times. Last time this happened, I was surprised because I didn't know it was an ongoing thing. And that would be the tariffs that, you know, we're levying against Europeans out there, let alone Chinese, for imports. And remember the exception there for Airbus? And then like a couple months ago, a couple, 3 months ago, it came up again. I was like, I thought we had that was done. President Trump had moved that. But it's something that has to be renewed. It doesn't just stand. So story from Yellowhammer News says, U.S. Representative Bradley Byrne praised the Trump administration's decision this week to hold off on implementing new tariffs on component parts used in Airbus's Mobile assembly plant. Airbus, headquartered in Europe, has been in the middle of a trade dispute between the U.S. and the European Union since 2004. The company has an assembly plant in Mobile that employs 1,100 people. This is written for the state, not for us down here that know this stuff. And business groups in the area have long sought to keep the imported component parts that are fashioned into aircraft at the plant from being added to the list of products subjects to tariffs by the U.S. government. Quote here from Congressman Byrne, said, I thank the Trump administration for this decision and continuing to put American workers first. Byrne said that in a statement yesterday, actually earlier today, after U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer decided against placing tariffs on the component parts. United States has kept in place tariffs on $7.5 billion worth of goods from several European countries as part of the ongoing dispute. Many of the goods remaining under the tariff are consumer products like food and beverage products. The ongoing dispute was heightened back in October of last year after the World Trade Organization issued a ruling in the U.S.'s favor, saying that many European nations had never ended their improper subsidies for Airbus that have long been part of the issue. Trump administration first decided not to impose those tariffs on the imported components shortly after the October decision by the WTO, a choice met at the time by the city of Mobile with a great sense of relief and gratitude. In further praise of the extension of that decision, Congressman Byrne said this morning, I have no doubt we will see the fruits of this decision as Mobile continues on the path to being a worldwide center of aviation excellence, end quote, which is what the congressman should say from AL1. I would add, it's a cherry deal. If you're a Trump supporter that lives here in Southwest Alabama, in AL1, Congressman Byrne has got some leverage there that works quite well. If you're a supporter of President Trump, you're somebody who believes in the tariffs and using these tariffs as leverage, you're getting the tariffs levied on, what'd they say, 700? I mean, it's a lot of products coming in from the European Union, right? So you're balancing this out. $7.5 billion worth of goods are under this tariff, okay, coming in from Europe. And so you get that win there. If you're a supporter of those tariffs, you're a supporter of President Trump's plan there. But at the same time, if you're a homer, Airbus is not having to pay those tariffs. So, I don't know if it's clean policy, but it's it is having your cake and eating it too, if you're here. All right, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. George Talbot joins us next.